Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. We're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glasser coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, Game Source, the great guys at Lakerholics.com. Go ahead and check out Jamie Sweet's 5 Things, and the number one Lakers blogger, as reported on by FeedSpot. I actually have proof online. I actually took a snapshot of it, and I'm going to send it to him. I'm going to email it to him. Laker Tom, catch the number one Laker blogger today at Lakerholics.com. Plus Joe Sorrell, Ox1947, who's probably the number one Laker ball fan out there. So go ahead and check him out today. I was trying to bring you up as well, number one Lakers ball something. Lakersball.com. Please go ahead and check him out today and all of his comments in the group chat today at Lakersball.com. Plus our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And you can go ahead and follow all the great NBA shows that they have. And of course, please, if you're on YouTube, go ahead and below Laker Tom, right there below Laker Tom, go ahead and hit that subscribe button because we need all the subscribers we can get. And if you can do all that, because you'll get the latest notifications on when we go live, it is sincerely appreciated. Yes, yes, right there below Laker Tom indeed. Well, I thought today was going to be a relaxing day for me. I only had one podcast on the docket for today, an Inside Sports Fantasy Football. I was going to go ahead and record on the most overrated and underrated players out there for your fantasy draft. I thought, okay, it was not going to be too busy, nothing going on in the month of August. Everything was at a standstill. Then, lo and behold, Shams Charania and Adrian Wojnarowski decided to go ahead, and even though they don't do it in unison, they tweet in unison about LeBron James agreeing to a 2-year extension with the Los Angeles Lakers worth initially and on the books as a $97.1 million extension. The last year of the contract is a player option. There is a 15% trade kicker. And if they renegotiate the TV contract and it goes up, well, I'll tell you what, the deal can be worth up to $111 million. And that's if it goes up in 23-24. So LeBron James is going to stay a Laker, at least on the books, for a little bit longer, unless he goes the way of Kevin Durant. Because, you know, if he has another season like last season, he may want to go the way of Kevin Durant. But take the money when you can. And a very valuable deal indeed. But here today to talk about that, plus Pau Gasol's number getting retired in March 7th, and any quirks in the schedule, because the schedule was released out there for the Lakers for the upcoming season. So we're going to go ahead and talk about that, plus maybe some final thoughts on the first couple episodes of Hulu's Legacy, the true story of the LA Lakers. All right. Our chat is going live right now. We truly appreciate Johnny2K6 for being on the show as one in the chat room right there for you. But here today to talk about what's going on with LeBron's extension. Good man indeed. You can find him shadowing everything going on at LakersBall.com. It is Joe Sorrow, a.k.a. Ox1947. I'm so glad that we are now appealing and appeasing the audience because they requested you and Laker Tom together. And it took LeBron James signing a 2-year extension to do that indeed.
Is it 97-1 or is it 111?
Yeah, it's 97-1 right now. But when most likely they will renegotiate everything because of the TV deal. Because there's a TV deal on the horizon that they're going to go ahead and, as far as the league, work on in partnership with ESPN, ABC, and TNT. When those deals go into effect, of course, the salary cap goes up. And if that's the case, a deal like his gets ballooned up to, depending on how high it will go, up to a possible, $111 million. That's the most it could be as far as the value of it if, again, the salary cap goes up accordingly.
Two things happened right now. One, LeBron made a commitment to the Lakers so that they can now say, okay, we're gonna be playing to win now. I would say this was pretty much the sealer in the Lakers pushing out the assets that need to get done to make a deal. Now, I've heard that the Nets want more than just their first round picks and a expiring contract of Russell Westbrook.
Gabriel, maybe?
Probably not. So I am going to say that there's likely going to be a 3-team deal here should it happen. And I would be in shock even more if there isn't something done. However, let's just say there isn't. This is the second part on why this happened. And it's the fact that LeBron's not going to get this kind of money anywhere else. I know he's LeBron James. I know he is a brand, probably the biggest brand of this era. But I just didn't see any team with salary cap space dropping $50 million for LeBron James this late in the game. Any team that would have had that kind of money available likely wouldn't be a title contending team, even if he came on board. So this was, going on my cynical side, I would say he did this deal because it was the best deal he can make financially. Yeah. But at the same time, he's also got a better chance at winning here as well, since he's got a prime number 2 or 1A already here, and with the chance of possibly getting improvements enough to be in a title contending team. So I don't think we should be surprised at any of this. I think things are going the way they need to go at this point. I thought maybe it would have happened later, but not really, too, because it's like, well, what are you going to wait? Another month for what? What's really going to change? You know, get this thing done. Show the official commitment to the Lakers. And then now the ball, so to speak, is in the Lakers' hand. Rob, try to go get somebody or some people, whatever, to get this thing possibly to a title contender, hopefully this year.
Well, I'm hoping to as well, but I'm going to say it again before I bring on Laker Tom. If this season goes as awry as it did the previous season, and you see that look on LeBron's face for like 20 games that he had, and I know you saw it and Laker Tom saw it, the frustration could set in. You know, obviously it's, again, like what Kevin Durant did last year. Take the money and then work out the logistics later if it goes awry. And I'm hoping it doesn't go awry. I hope the Lakers will go ahead and do everything that they can to go ahead and make LeBron's next years or coming years as fruitful as possible. I'm hopeful of that. I'm hopeful LeBron, even at an older age, closing in on the big 4-0, will still be very healthy. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, just because he signed this extension now does not mean he's 100% going to stay. I understand there's a 15% trade kicker in there, but he can always go ahead and waive that if he wants to be traded to a specific team. It's a no trade clause, but it's not kind of a not of a no trade clause, that 15% trade kicker. It just allows him to go ahead and dictate his future plus that player option in the final year. So I'm very happy for him, and he deserves it. There's no one that deserves it.
I don't think that happens. I just don't see a team. Well,
I didn't say I don't think that happens, but we didn't think that would happen with Kevin Durant last year, did we?
It's different circumstances. I don't.
It's a different kind of player. You have to look at the history of LeBron James, Gerald. You're
Durant. Durant is yeah. Fact.
Well, but he has never asked or demanded a trade.
He's always taken free agency.
Wait a minute. It's my turn. He's always taken free agency as the way to change teams. Okay? He's never asked for a trade the way that Kyrie has or KD has or all of these other guys. Instead, he has followed the rules. He's lived out his contracts, and he's played them out. So any criticism of that seems to me to be
I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying that in today's player-empowered
NBA, he is not today's player. He is not Kyrie Irving. He is not KD. He's just not that kind of guy. The other thing is, which really obvious, and everybody who's writing about this, the signing, the extension, everybody knows LeBron wants to be in L.A. That's a big reason for it. I mean, why do you change jobs? A better opportunity, more money, or to move somewhere where you want to live because you live somewhere where you don't want to work.
Well, the man is The man is a billionaire, and he's actually earned more than anyone else with this deal. Yeah. He's earned more than anybody else.
And I think it's really important that he, number one, committed to the Lakers again. You have to remember, too, he signed a 4-year deal to start with. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, this is not like he hasn't said he's embraced. And if there's any franchise, and we all know this, that wants to be known for coddling and taking care of their older superstars and making sure that they end their careers gracefully, the Los Angeles Lakers take the cake for that. They proved that with Kobe Bryant because that's why. And LeBron James signed with the Lakers probably because of that, a good portion of it. And the next guy to sign with the Lakers is probably going to look at the way that the Lakers treated LeBron James, and he's going to say, man, that's the kind of team I want to play for. Wouldn't you? This is great news for the Lakers because it takes away that unknown factor. You know that the Lakers now are probably going to give up the 2 picks for LeBron. You know that's a fact. But nobody who had really any common sense would have thought that was different, you know, before. It all comes down to the package, you know. You can't say you're not going to give a pick for this or that. You have to get the specifics and know exactly what the deal is. So there's deals to be made. I think the one thing that's really clear about this, though, is that now that LeBron has signed that extension, the one thing it does signal is Russell Westbrook is gone. Gone. There is no way they're bringing him back to camp and wasting 50% of what they consider to be 2 years in the window remaining for championships for LeBron James. They're not going to blow that. They need the 2 to 4 rotation players they can get in trades for Russell Westbrook and Talen Horton-Tucker. So this is good news. Unfortunately, it probably is not going to accelerate the trade situation because most of that is hung up on KD, and it doesn't look like that's going to change, you know.
How does this differ, though, from the Kobe contract that was given so long ago as far as the contract that I know the
– Well, when Kobe got that lifetime contract, he was not a top 5 player in the NBA still. You know, that's the difference.
Yeah, there you go. I mean,
Kobe's coming off of a major injury, you know. Yeah, that took a lot out of him. And it's funny. I complained at times about that contract, but I understood why – the Buss family really felt that they wanted to do that. And I do think that that was a factor for why LeBron came to the Lakers. And it probably will be a factor down the road. You know, in the end, it'll cost us a few years at the end of a contract. There's no doubt about it, you know, but God, I don't know. LeBron, how long will he play? You know, I think he's going to improve his outside shooting this year. I think he's going to become
an excellent three-point shooter.
You know, you can see he's shooting 8 to 10 threes a game. He's going to be, he was 14th in the league in 3-point attempts last year.
Well, if he goes back to those years in Miami, because remember in Miami, he was very effective from three.
Yeah.
And we'll just leave it at that. So.
Yeah. But no, so I think it's great news. And I think that it shows that we can see from everything that's happened that the good news for at least Laker fans and the segment of Laker fans who believe in the same things that Jeannie Buss is believing in right now, which is that you take care of your superstars because that will attract people to come to work for you. That's a principle I've always felt as an entrepreneur that was a very important part of it. I'm sure Joe feels the same way as an entrepreneur that, man, the people you hire are really that determines what kind of business you're going to have, what kind of character you're going to have, how hard they're going to work, how much they're going to care. And that's something that you want to build and cherish, and it's an important factor of it. Darwin Ham asked the question and basically said, hey, I don't want anybody here who doesn't want to be a Laker. Well, we know damn for sure that LeBron James wants to be a Laker now.
Well, I'm hoping that that's going to stay the case and remain the case throughout the entirety of his contract. Again, we'll see the way things are going, especially if he has another year like last year. All bets are off the table. But I'm assuming with the Lakers' commitment to him and his commitment to the Lakers that it will actually be better. And I'm hoping you're right, that the Russell Westbrook's, you know, his contract, and he'll be gone by the tip-off of the regular season, which we'll talk about as far as the schedule is concerned. Some games that you guys are really looking forward to coming up in the schedule season here on the show. But also here as well, he is the madman from Toronto with a beer in hand. You got to go ahead and check him out today every time he's on the Lakers Fast Break. It is the magic man, Sean Grice. Sean, great to have you here, my friend. Your thoughts on the LeBron extension? You were very happy giving the thumbs up earlier. Special shout out to the chat with Johnny2K6 and Jim Faison. Great comments so far. Your thoughts right now on the LeBron extension?
I'm very pleased about this news. We were just talking about it. A couple of people were wondering whether this would fall, you know, within a couple months, whether he wouldn't sign it at all.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I don't feel like that people have done that as much, especially with this international release.
You can get it out there right now.
I know you can get it out there, but it feels like this time last year people have just been like, oh,
you
can
get
you go.
The
Here's
cell
a copy,
phone version you know. That was taped somewhere where it's like, you know, shell shaky, has some dude or some family that's walking right in front of you as they're finding their seat with the popcorn already in hand.
No,
you know,
come on.
That,
really?
Yeah, that version is already available.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
with a mono sound. There you go.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the worst part. You only get sound on the left ear, not the right ear.
family. Something like that. You can find that version already if you really want it. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Once again, it is the two-year extension for LeBron James. Any final thoughts on the two-year extension right now, Joe? I mean, my gosh, a lot of people are talking about it. Again, we're just like saying, hey, everything's great, but we still got a team we have to build around him in order to compete this year in the Western Conference.
Well, it's the talk of the town because there's nothing else. I've never seen so much. I think I saw Woj and Shams post maybe 8 different types of two-year extensions of LeBron James. I'm like, all right. Every time I looked at my phone while I was working, I'm like, okay, I get it. They signed the extension. But it's dead. It's dead summer. It is the deadest summer I can remember, and nothing seems to be moving. I think, what was it, yesterday, Donovan Mitchell, they've re-engaged talks. I don't even know what that means.
They came back from vacation.
The phone rang.
Yeah. Like, hey, is Donovan Mitchell still good? Good. Oh, well, I'll just check and see if he's good. Never mind. So, okay. So the commitment by LeBron James is official. So now the Lakers need to be committed to supplying the team with players this coming year that are going to be a title contender. Is it realistic to say that? Sort of. Is it? I don't know.
And how can they do that, Joe?
Well,
Is there any way that they could do that?
I know that Woj just posted an hour ago, or I should say spoke on ESPN an hour ago, talking about they're willing to give up the 2 first-round picks for Kyrie, but they don't want to do it for Turner and Hield.
I wouldn't do it for Turner and Hield.
I'm going to go for broke. I'm going Laker Tom crazy optimism here.
Okay.
How about if the Lakers figure out a way to get all 3?
I tried that several times and it's great. The only problem is getting those other 2 teams to agree to it.
Well, we've nominated Laker Tom.
I certified it was a good trade for all three teams, but you know.
Well, we saw that trade. Yeah. I don't think anybody on the internet, myself and Jamie Sweet, liked it. We actually liked it for Lakers fans, but if you're a Nets fan, it was probably the worst thing you've ever seen in this.
There really are a couple of things that are really important also about the LeBron James extension. First is that because he took more than a 5% raise, he can't be traded for the first 6 months, which then goes past the trade deadline, which means he can't be traded in this season at all. So we've got a couple of guys on LakerHolics.com that's going to mean that they don't have anything to talk about for the next year because everything they talk about is targeted toward trading LeBron James. The second thing is that now LeBron and AD's contracts align perfectly. We have them, each of them guaranteed for 2 more years, and then they both have an option to opt out in the final year of their contracts. So that's an interesting factor
if I could interject.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Sean.
The salary cap goes up, Tom. He gets a small. It goes up to what was it? $112 million. It goes up. I believe.
I think it's at 112 now. I think it could go up to 120.
I mean,
it could even go up higher depending on the next contract.
I meant his specific deal. The two pay bump with that.
Well, right now, again, at the 2-year extension, it goes 97.1, right. But if a new TV deal is signed, it can go up to 111. That's right. The maximum if it could go to
right.
Based on the salary.
But what it does do is there's not enough. They're projecting that there was going to be like $20 million of cap space available. And now it looks like they're probably not going to have any cap space available when it really comes down to it. Because they've got LeBron and AD now both plugged in for two more years. What it comes down to is that's why you trade for somebody in this situation, because you want the bird rights. You got to be able to get the bird rights, then you can go way over the cap to sign them if you're willing to pay the luxury tax. I mean, are we going to give up two first-round picks and maybe more for a guy that you're going to not sign a long-term extension for? Probably not. Same thing with Miles Turner. If they go for the Pacers trade, Turner's got to sign an extension. The same thing with Kyrie. You're not going to give away two picks for a one-year rental of anybody. So when I think about 3 years of Kyrie after this, and 3 years of Turner and 3 years of Hield, we got 2 years on Hield. Man, I like the stability of going big. You know, it fits what Darvin Ham wants to do. It also, I think, unleashes. No matter how you argue it, Kyrie's going to take touches away from LeBron and AD. He's going to take the ball away from LeBron a lot, and Turner and Hield won't do that. Turner will allow them to play down a position, so they've got size advantages, and Hield will allow them not to be double-teamed all the time. I think there's a lot to say for the – and I also think they might be able to get it for a one pick and a swap instead of two picks, you know. So
that would be preferable.
There's a lot to be said about both of those deals. And you know what's even odder? I think that the Lakers might even be interested in the Julius Randle deal. There's something about all of this talk that I keep hearing about, you know, that we've got other offers that are out there besides the Pacers and the Nets, you know. There are other teams, and when Donovan Mitchell goes down and KD goes down, maybe a lot of different things will happen. So but Donovan Mitchell and KD going down, what does that do? I mean, what does that change really? What it changes is the Knicks situation. Because if they got Donovan Mitchell, they want to get rid of Julius Randle. That means they would love to eat Russell Westbrook's contract.
Yeah, that's a bad deal for the Lakers.
They need to do that. And so it's kind of scary to think that the Lakers are saying that, yeah, we got this other way. We got this other deal, man. You know, I love Julius and I'd love to root for him, but oh man, I don't see the fit as good as even Kyrie, you know, being a point guard and so forth.
He would have to come off the bench.
I might like the Utah deal better than the Knicks deal. He would work.
He just would have to come off the bench.
Right. And I don't think he wants to do that coming off an all-star season two seasons ago.
I mean, at that point, you have to do what's best for the team. And if you're subtracting Westbrook for Randle, you're still winning in the end if that's the last option.
In the end, if I was forced to do it, I would probably do that over. You're only making $23 million a year. You can move that a lot easier than you can move $47 million. You know, you throw a couple of second-round picks in, you can probably move a contract like that.
It's difficult for the Knicks to find a specific Julius Randle because he's not a versatile for – that you can throw out, like he's a sixth man.
And the other thing is, you also factor in the AD may miss games. Well, you start Julius when he's out. You just can't play those guys together. Unless you play
AD at the five, and then you're undersized at the four and the five,
and you're not really having oversized. Yeah, you're not, and you're clogging the lane. You don't really have anybody that can stretch the offense. But the thing is, there is no loss worse than, well, there's no, it's not a loss as long as it means you're jettisoning Westbrook.
There's something to be said for taking that $47 million and breaking it into two or three or four pieces, because when you break it into those smaller pieces, you have a much better chance of moving those pieces around and trading them.
You need to find value.
You need four of them if you're going to get those kind of guys.
As well, you need value as well as versatility if you're giving up two first-round picks.
Yeah, you got to have players who are legitimate rotation players, which for the Lakers means if they trade for Kyrie, they're going to get two players back. They're going to give up two players. They give up Talen Horton-Tucker and Westbrook, and they get back, you know, Harris and Kyrie. And that works. Kyrie is the wild card that really gives you a third superstar who really could be a superstar, you know? the other trade, when you go to the Pacers route, you can probably end up trading Talen Horton Tucker and Russell Westbrook for four players, because you can probably get three players. You can probably get Turner, Heald, and McConnell from the Pacers, and then you could probably swap THT for Beverly to get up four players. So you get four players in that case for those two players are worth $57 million. Both of those give you not a favorites role, but might be in the top four teams.
Joe, any last thoughts on this before we go ahead and hit up Pau Gasol and the rest of the show?
I think we've gone over everything at this point. The next phase is going to be whether they're going to acquire someone for Westbrook. If we don't see something in the next month, it's going to be bad news. And I'm hoping the Lakers are ready to go a different route should they go into the season without making a transaction for better players. I'm crossing my fingers. I know it's not going to mean much during the year, and likely we won't be title contenders. But we can't start the season with Westbrook, whether he's traded or not.
Well, I think that's agreed upon by all parties concerned.
Now, I just don't think they're going to do it. I think they're gonna take another chance with it.
They have a backup deal already laid out with somebody, I'm sure. I hope so.
That's what I certainly Blake hope was
talking
so.
About.
But
that's
it
what
Blake
really
Randall.
Meant when he said he had other options. He has a deal that he thinks is better than keeping Russ.
I'm going to say Randall is not going to move the needle at all for you this season if you trade for him. Simple as that.
He could if he plays like he did 2 years ago off the bench.
But if you could break $57 million up into three contracts and then at the trade deadline move those contracts.
We'll see if that – I mean
Jamie Sweet's always pushed the fact that in-season adjustments are going to be something – that because of the bad situation we're in, we may have to live with. It's probably true.
Well, because of the fact that this was a bad summer for a lot of teams as far as transactions concerned, not the free agent market was pretty dry. I have a feeling that the February trade deadline is going to be active simply because a lot of teams are going to know exactly where they stand. Plus, also, a lot of teams are going to be looking for players and making trades for players that they couldn't make over the course of this summer. I just think it's going to be very active February, and
it's better every year. It's better every year.
Well,
every year
so.
There's more action.
We're all rooting for you because, as Jamie said, he doesn't want to see you sad 3 years in a row at the trade deadline special. So I know that's the case.
Really? I mean, but you know, it's the Lakers haven't made any trades, but there have been more trades. There have been more signings of free agents. There have been more buyout candidates than ever before. Every season. The off-season stuff like this gets to be bigger and bigger and bigger. It's a big part of the business part of the NBA has become almost as exciting for fans as the games themselves, because it goes on all year long and the games only last a short time.
Well, one of those games coming up in March of next year is a tribute to Pau Gasol because his number is being put into the rafters. Looks like I was just going to ask Joe, but it looks like that right there, as far as an answer, I think he's very happy about it. I know some social media reaction online was kind of mixed. Some were like really supportive of it. And also because of the fact that he's been so supportive of Kobe Bryant's family after the passing of Kobe Bryant and Gigi Bryant. And I just think as far as him as a player, he's a Hall of Famer. I think there's no doubt he's going to have his number raised with Memphis. You know, that's a no-brainer right there. The Lakers, his time was limited, so we weren't sure if that was going to happen, but it is going to happen.
Hall of Fame is international, too. It's not just limited to the NBA.
Well, of course, you know, what he's done for his country is amazing. What him and his brother did for his country is amazing. And I think that both Gasols will actually be their numbers will be put in the rafters for the Memphis Grizzlies by the time that's done. But it is Powell going up in the rafters for the Lakers. So your thoughts, Laker Tom, and I'll hit it to the other two guys.
It's exactly the kind of player that you'd want to have on your team. You know, if you're, I don't care whether you're Jerry Buss and you're building a basketball team or whether you're a guy at a gym looking around the gym and you see a bunch of guys and you're looking for guys that you want to play with that are fun to play with. That play smart basketball, that play unselfish basketball. Pau Gasol was just a perfect, maybe the best trade that the Lakers, after the Kobe Bryant trade, obviously, maybe one of the best trades the Lakers ever made was getting a Gasol. And that totally transformed the second half of Kobe's career, in my opinion. So he deserves to have that number retired, and he'll always be a Laker. And I'll never forget what he's done for the Bryant family. And I'm sure Kobe appreciates that every day that he looks down upon the crowd and sees how well that Pau takes care of his wife and those kids.
It's so funny because you said he'll always be a Laker. It's funny because after what Richard Jefferson's comments the other day in regards to LeBron James, maybe this extension will allow him to become a Laker, although I consider him
What's Richard got that's in the same category as LeBron in any category?
He's got a ring too, though, but that's just because of LeBron. But Joe, your thoughts on
earning the ring and being a recipient?
Well, LeBron is a title away from being a Laker legend. When you're a multi-championship player on the Lakers, I mean, Gail Goodrich, Jerry West, they're single title guys, and they've got their number in the Raptors. The Pau Gasol thing, in my opinion, is the greatest trade I've ever witnessed as a Laker. And I say that because the Kobe Bryant trade wasn't as impactful at the time. Yeah, it became the greatest trade of the last 30 years, but we didn't know that at the time. Gasol changed the entire landscape of the Lakers, Kobe's career, and the league in that trade. And for me, it's one of those identifying moments of the last 22 years, if not the identifying moment. I knew exactly where I was when it happened. I remember I got a text message. I used to have the Razor Motorola phone.
I remember that well.
And I got the text. I was driving to LA. I got the text, and my buddy Chris says, "Wow, the Lakers, like, I'm paraphrasing. They got a steal," he said. And right away, I'm like trying to get onto my phone. Luckily, I was in traffic, so I wasn't worried about crashing.
Going anywhere anyways.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting there and I'm trying to get to what they traded. Cause again, at the time I was in the car, I didn't have Sirius radio. It was like, I didn't know what to do. So I finally get to something. I don't remember what it was, but I get to something. I'm looking for Bynum's name. I'm looking for Lamar Odom's name. I'm looking for something where I'm like, yeah, I can see that. And I initially thought it was for Jason Kidd. Then all of a sudden I find out Kwame, the rights to Marc Gasol. At the time, I didn't know if that was good or bad. Javaris Crittenton. And they signed Aaron McKee, which was hilarious. I'm like, Aaron McKee? They signed Aaron McKee, paid him money, and then traded him. And I'm like, who the hell did we get for this? And Pau Gasol, I mean, I was in the car. If anybody was watching, I was like, like, is this
you should
true?
Hear my, wait till our story, Joe. Wait till you hear my car story about this.
I'll finish up and we'll go right at you. And I was so excited. I just couldn't wait to get home. It took me like another 2.5 hours because I still needed to go do something in LA and then drive back. Actually, it was more than 2.5. I think it was like 4. And I was just, I could not, it was, I remember calling my buddy right after. I said, dude, we just got a player that does exactly everything Kwame Brown doesn't do. I mean, he makes layups. He knows how to run an offense. He doesn't fumble the ball. Like, everything Kwame Brown was doing, this guy does. And I go, this is going to be. And of course, there were a lot of expletives when I called him to tell him. He didn't believe me for like the first 20 seconds. He's just like, shut the F up. Shut the F up. I'm like, you couldn't believe. I'm like, dude, how many times are you going to tell me that? I go, dude, it's serious. It happened. So get home. And I'm like, man, I can't wait for that Jersey game. At the time, they're the New Jersey Nets. And I mean, it was very, very, I was very excited. And I knew, man, if as soon as Bynum got hurt, I said, if Bynum gets back, this thing's going to be lit. And it was, even without Bynum. Unfortunately, we couldn't finish it off, but boy, did I, those 3 years were just amazing.
Hey, what, my big shout out to Alan. Thank you so much for the kind words about Pop Culture Cosmos. Truly appreciate it. And in regards to LeBron, yeah, maybe some money left on the table doing a James Harden type deal might have been maybe more beneficial for the Lakers long term. But in that 23-24 season, if the salary cap does go up due to the TV deal, hopefully that will go ahead and maybe still allow us to go ahead and sign some players. Plus, of course, Russell Westbrook's money comes off the table next summer as well. So I'm hoping the Lakers still, even though that they have so much money invested in LeBron in the coming years, that hopefully they will still be able to get enough players to provide a supporting cast. Because as everyone knows that watches this show, that listens to this show, the Lakers supporting cast is something that needs to be improved dramatically. But before we go ahead and touch on the schedule and some final thoughts on Legacy, the first two episodes before we head on out, thanks again so much, Petting My Cat, Jim, Alan. You've been great so far in the chat. Everybody that's been in the chat, you've been tremendous. Sean, you have a car memory before we go ahead and head over to the schedule?
I'm just happy for Powell. It's going to be emotional. His number beside his friend.
Absolutely, indeed. Once again, Pau Gasol's number will be raised to the rafters as a Laker, immortalized on March the 7th. Before we hit the schedule, any last thoughts, Joe?
Yes, what's cool is if they do put the jersey between Kobe's two jerseys.
They have.
They're in sequence.
Yes, they are.
16-24.
There you go, indeed. Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate you being part of the program. You guys in the chat, Petting My Cat, Joe, Johnny, Alan, everybody, John, just guys have all been tremendous in the chat room. Jim, thank you so much for being a part of what we do here at the Lakers Fast Break. But before we head on out, the schedule has been released. I took a quick glance over it today. I'm going to go into more detail in the coming days and look over it and look to see if there's any thing out of the norm, and it seemed like it was a pretty well distributed schedule for the most part. The road trips weren't super tough as far as having some teams that are not expected to do well mixed in, obviously, with the games against the teams they are expected to do well. I noticed one thing as far as for me that was kind of a quirk, and I wanted to point that out. In November 20 to 26, you've got four games. But three of those are against the Spurs, and two of them back-to-back are in San Antonio. And I know this is something that the NBA is kind of like doing for travel reasons and things of that nature. They started dabbling with this a little bit, so people are not thrown off. Just want to let you know, on the 25th and 26th, San Antonio, they will be playing in San Antonio on a back-to-back basis. So outside of that, it does seem to be pretty evenly distributed. I know the Lakers, everybody was in an uproar that they have, first off, they go up to Golden State, as Joe had mentioned, and then they come back for a home game against the Clippers back-to-back. I know that's obviously a tough way to start the schedule, but overall, I think it looks pretty distributed. Guys, is there anything? I'll start with you first, Laker Tom. Is there anything on the schedule that you saw that pokes out at you on interest? Of course, the Christmas Day game against Luka as well.
Right. Yeah, I think the first time we play the Nets on November 13th, that was going to be an interesting game, depending on who we traded for. On December 2nd, we've got the Bucks. That's going to be a big test. The Celtics on December 13th. At some point in time, LeBron is going to be breaking Kareem's record or getting close to it. So there's going to be a game there that's going to be historic. And then, you know, we play Golden State on March 5th. That should be a test to see what kind of team we've got by March. So, yeah, it's an interesting schedule, and what's really pretty amazing is that it was like for a year or two that the East all of a sudden seemed to be rising up, and now the West has just gotten brutal. I mean, there's so much competition in the West that there's probably four or five teams in the West that you could say are better than the teams that won the last two championships.
Joe, any revenge games against Oklahoma City you're looking forward to, or is there anything else on the schedule?
I don't think you can have revenge when you're a 33-win team.
Well, they did lose two very embarrassing losses.
If there's any revenge games, it's got to be against the Clippers. No one cares about Oklahoma City. We used to always lose to the Bobcats back when we were really good. I could not figure out what the hell that team would do to beat us. And they're actually the –
What happened to the Bobcats? They become something else?
They turned into bugs.
The Hornets.
The Hornets.
Oh, maybe get the Hornets.
They turned into a bug. Yeah, I'm sorry. I was trying to be funny, but that didn't work.
It's funny, Joe.
But here, you know, it's a funny stat, not that we're talking about that era. So in 2009, after the Lakers beat the Magic in the finals, they had a winning record against every team they played or tied except the Bobcats that year.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing is you and I had issues again with the way they handled those two games against Oklahoma City, having those large leads.
Well, that was that is my point with the issue with Russell Westbrook. They actually were not playing bad. I'm not saying they were playing really good either, but they weren't playing that bad the first few weeks. And those two games are what slit the throat of the Lakers, and they couldn't stop the bleeding after that because they just did not have the right guy kind of guiding them while AD was sort of there, and then LeBron was out at the beginning of the year. You didn't have that third guy that was supposed to be your third star kind of picking up the slack. And when everybody came together, it's like, you know, it got worse.
Sean, any games on the schedule that are really interesting that poke out to you?
Well, it's funny that Tom mentioned the scoring record. At the tail end of the year, the Lakers played the Bulls twice.
Well, before we head on out, I want to go ahead and touch on, again, if you haven't seen it already, Hulu has the docuseries already started this week. The first two episodes of Legacy, the true story of the LA Lakers. And I did speak to Hulu PR today, and we're trying to see if we can still arrange an interview with one of the producers behind the scenes. So I did speak to Hulu PR, got my request. They've acknowledged my request and they've spoke to the producer himself. So we're trying
call
to
call you. Don't call us.
Yeah. Something like that. But you know, hey, it's just great to see something that you, when you go ahead and get the email from anyone that works at Disney, it's kind of a cool thing indeed. But before we end on out, I've seen the first two episodes. All I can say is right now, again, the archival footage for me is just the best part of this. I don't know how many people are going to gravitate towards this docuseries because in these first two episodes, it's the third retelling of the same period of time that was also covered in Winning Time and also as well the Magic doc that came out earlier this year on Apple TV Plus, which we've also covered on the show and you can catch in the archives. So if you stick through it, it's going to go and head through the Kobe Shaq era and into the bubble championship. And hopefully we'll also go into detail in regards to the Buss family drama that happened in last decade. So hopefully we'll be able to go ahead and get more knowledge on that. That's the part I really want to go ahead and make sure that that's covered, is that part, that time period, because so much of it was speculation and reports. So I'm hoping that we will be able to go ahead and see something more definitive on that front. Right now, the first two episodes, again, for me, it's all about the archival footage. It's not really telling me anything I need to know or haven't known already or haven't found out already, but it does cover the first two episodes up to their first three championships in the 1980s. Again, the archival footage from all the different aspects, from early sports shows to what they were covering at CBS to the local stations down there. Didn't get KHJ. And hopefully I can get someone on to go ahead and ask why they couldn't get KHJ coverage, or if they did, it wasn't very pronounced. I would have loved some KHJ, as Jamie and I were alluding to with the old theme song and all that. But again, it was still very much brought to light. It did cover a lot of the on-court action and, of course, also as well the archival footage with the interviews with Dr. Buss. Obviously, was very informational as well. So we'll see what happens. But Joe, are you going to catch it?
I saw the first episode last night. I went through halfway through the second one and started falling asleep.
I love that archival footage, though. I love the footage.
Yeah. We keep talking about this, about dual shows or movies coming out at the same time. I think they're I think their irritation with Winning Time was it was ahead of what they were doing, because this obviously didn't get done after Winning Time came out, right? This was done a while ago, right? Am I wrong?
Yeah,
right?
To put something like this together, just to find all the archival footage, so, must have taken a year at least.
Which only adds to more of the, I don't know what word to use for the for Genie and the crew. It just adds to the more of the assness of their whole, like, aura at this moment.
I think you mean mustiness, Joe. Mustiness. What?
Yeah, that's fine. I like assness because it sounds funny. Oh, it's just I don't know what Gerald's not laughing, so I shouldn't have said it. I'm watching the first episode, and I'm like, okay, all right, okay. How's this different than the other show? Except you just have the real people here. So if
there were different spots that they picked as far as what they wanted to cover, as opposed to what Winning Time wanted to cover. I think that's also something
they didn't show. Okay. So they got angry about the other show, but it turns out that it's pretty much the damn same one. I don't know. That's what I got out of it, but I got to watch the whole thing to really get a good assessment on it. And we're not the right people to probably ask anyways. We know everything about this team. We know all about that era now, that especially now. And I'm going to be very interested in seeing how the Jerry West thing kind of turns up, because if it comes anywhere near what Winning Time is, I'm going to laugh even harder. And just for the record, I actually like Jerry West more because of Winning Time, and I already love Jerry West. So if Jerry's listening, anyone who cares about winning and the fact that he knew he wasn't the right coach, these are the things that true leaders do. That's my interpretation of it. And I got a little bit of that in the first episode and a half. And I'm like, how is this any different than, okay, so Jerry might not have been in his tidy whities in a fetal position. Okay, they may have embellished that. But even if somebody had done that with me, even though I don't wear tidy whities and someone said I did, I think that would be kind of funny.
I just don't want to get a picture of you in your tidy whities.
Well, that's the point. The point is it would be funny. Even though I don't wear that stuff. So I don't know what I think it's, sometimes you got
to
laugh.
Trying to block out any mental picture of that. Just trying to do that.
So anyways, I guess the only thing left is watching the whole series and then being able to make a good assessment on that. Like Jerry West more than when he was bashing J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick ruffled the feathers of Jerry West. And Jerry West completely forgot about Winning Time. So. Good job, JJ. Good job getting his mind somewhere else.
Laker Tom, before we head on out, any thoughts on Legacy? Are you going to catch it while you're heading out on,
Well, it's kind of funny. I was really eager to watch Winning Time. And I've sort of resisted turning on the Hulu version of it.
What's the third time we've seen the same story within six months? At least this
the archival, it it's. I guess it comes down to the difference between being presented with a documentary and being presented with an entertainment. Winning Time was an entertaining show. It was put together with some pizzazz, and I liked the over the top attitude that it presented and so forth. And I felt exactly the same way about Jerry West, whom I patterned my game as a basketball player with as a young kid, and used to shoot hundreds of jump shots watching my shadow just to make sure I look like Jerry West.
Are you over him going to the Clippers, Tom?
He's a Clipper because of the Lakers.
It all started with Phil. That whole situation with Phil and Jerry was one of the things that, like Kobe and Shaq, you wish that somehow they'd managed to figure out that, hey, we could do a lot more together than we can separately, and you end up with a feud, and so I'm a Laker fan. I'll support the Lakers against that. And I also think Jerry's been kind of petty about, the complaining about Winning Time. So laugh it off. Everybody knows it's just a television show, man. But I have a great deal of respect for Jerry's acumen and his judgment of players and so forth. And we all know this. We all know the Kobe stories with Jerry picking him, and making that gamble and so forth. And I love guys that are willing to really go out on a limb like that and make the big move, to have a vision, and having somebody visionary is something that the Lakers have missed it a long time, and I'm very hopeful that Darvin Ham will fill that role on the Lakers.
We'll see what happens indeed, but it is legacy. The true story of the LA Lakers. Go ahead and catch it today on Hulu. The first two episodes are now available. As each episode drops, we'll go ahead and talk about it here on the show. I will have my opinions. Hopefully Joe, Laker Tom, and Sean will have their opinions as well in the coming weeks, but we'll catch it again on Hulu. But everyone out there, we truly appreciate you stopping by. The chat has been tremendous once again. Big shout out to everyone that's part of the chat already. Sovereign with the awesome N7 Mass Effect. Love Mass Effect. You see that behind me right there for you. Jerry has been very petty, but we'll always love him here in LA. Once a Laker, always a Laker, especially him as one of the greatest Lakers ever, indeed. Absolutely, indeed. But guys, I want to go ahead.
Logo.
Yes, he is the logo. We even know, much to his chagrin, he doesn't even like being the logo, but that's just the kind of man he is. Yeah, don't ask about that. That's something I don't want to get.
I'll ask him.
Yeah, you would ask him. That's true. You would ask him indeed. But everyone out there, thanks so much for being a part of today's show. Once again, LeBron signs a 2-year, $97.1 million extension. Depending on if the salary cap increases, it could increase to $111 million. With a 15% trade kicker on it as well, and an option in the final year. So he is right now committed to the Los Angeles Lakers, and hopefully that will continue to happen and continue to be a great part of the Lakers scene for the incoming years. We'll hopefully be able to provide a team around him that will go ahead and compete again for a world championship, and we'll see what happens there. But if you have comments, questions, please go ahead, hit us up at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter. Also, as well, go ahead and shout out to us, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com, or Facebook. You can go ahead and like our page, share any comments you want right there for you, or YouTube. We go ahead and follow up on that as well. And of course, you can go ahead and catch us anytime you want on your podcast outlet. Sovereign, Emmy fans unite, N7 indeed. Take it easy, guys. Go Lakers. Once again, it is Ox1947. You can catch him today right there at LakersBall.com. With Laker Tom, who is the number one Lakers blogger. I'm not lying. I actually did. I was looking up Lakers blog sites the other day, and I noticed there's a lot of them that are now no longer available and no longer in operational. But it came down to a listing of bloggers right there for you and the number that they do. And the number one is Laker Tom, number one blogger on the Lakers. So go ahead and catch him today at Lakerholics.com. There's right there for you. There's Joe Sorrell giving the pink indeed. Yeah, which finger he's
so gave me like, a finger. Whoa.
Yeah,
Joe.
He's giving him the finger. He's giving the finger. And don't forget that Sean Grice.
A nice compliment on the great do, man. I mean, really, really.
Yes. Well, I
hit it. I hit it. I'm trying to be good, you know.
Okay, fair.
But I used all five.
But Sean Grice, I want to go ahead and make sure to let everybody know that Sean Grice, even though he had some internet issues today, we'll go ahead and keep on trying. In fact, he sounded great. I'm going to go ahead and drop a conversation in the coming days that we had on Facebook, which was perfect, which was awesome. And I'll go ahead and make sure we can hopefully duplicate that again in the coming weeks as well. But everyone out there, we truly appreciate everyone out there as far as their comments in the chat. Also, your thoughts, your opinions, and, of course, taking the time out of your day to going ahead and catching us here at the Lakers Fast Break. We'll be back on Sunday. As far as for everyone that's watching us live, we'll be back on Sunday. We've moved our Thursday show for LeBron to go ahead and be on Wednesday, just for LeBron, right there. So we'll go ahead and drop a new episode as far as live on YouTube and Twitch on Sunday. So go ahead and check us out there, plus also as well on Facebook. And like I said, I'm going to go ahead and drop for the audio outlets a upcoming episode of me and Sean Grice here, probably on Friday. I'll drop that on Friday indeed. So for everyone out there, Laker Tom, Joe Sorrell, Sean Grice, thank you so much for watching and listening. We hope everyone out there are really happy about LeBron's new extension, which we'll keep on talking about because there's not a whole lot else to talk about. But we'll keep finding stuff and we'll keep bringing it to you right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.